This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Just gone 1:15, you're listening to Afternoon Edition on 5 Live. GPs could be the next group of health workers to join junior doctors in public protests. They say that changes to GP funding in England mean 4 out of 10 surgeries are facing budget cuts.
One surgery in Slathwaite, West Yorkshire, say they'll be unable to provide a safe service and patients could face up to 2 weeks wait for an appointment. That's because they face a 44% budget cut over the next 3 years. Irene Challoner represents the patients group at that health centre. She suffers from Kress syndrome, which is an autoimmune disorder, and needs regular access to her GP.
If things go wrong, they go wrong very suddenly, and I need access to the GP, and we can normally work through it and get it sorted out. But if I can't have that immediate access, then I will end up going to Sheffield, which is my nearest regional centre for my condition, probably waiting because of that distance, thinking, I'll wait, I'll see if it puts itself right, I'll see if I can cope myself. I will get a delay in treatment and then I'll end up being admitted to Sheffield, Hallamshire for more intensive treatment, more expensive treatment than just a little bit of tinkering by my GP earlier on. So significant difference.
That's Irene Challoner, who represents a patients group at Slathwaite Health Centre. Dr. Paul Wilding is a partner there, and Philip Bonds is the director of the think tank ResPublica. Thank you both for being with us. Paul, first of all, why is your practice going to lose up to 44% of its funding? I thought the NHS was protected.
We're all protected, but some of us are more protected than others. This is an attempt by NHS England to so-called level up funding between the two different types of contracts that exist for GPs. So nationally, 60%, so 6 out of 10 practices are on a general contract, and 4 out of 10, including little old Slathwaite Health Centre, are on a personal contract. And these personal contracts were introduced, I think, in around 2003 or something like that, as an attempt to arrest a continued erosion and decline in GP and primary care funding that has continued to this date, and now sees the proportion of the £100 billion a year NHS budget that's spent on GP service at a historical low of just over 8%. So a previous contractual mechanism that tried to incentivise access, service development, better quality, widening services in GP surgeries is being threatened by NHS England, who want to level funding down to an average level, which is that figure you quoted, nearly 44% lower for our practice. I guess what they're trying to do is to deliver average levels of access, average levels of service quality, and average levels of health outcomes.
What's it going to mean for your patients? We heard from Irene, but other people?
I think it's going to, for our practice, it renders the practice completely non-viable. I'd be interested if any of your listeners can think of another business, and GP surgeries are small businesses, albeit ones with significantly altruistic and public service mentality. It would render our practice non-viable.
You'd have to close.
We will have to close. We have engaged with NHS England, or attempted to. We have written a series of letters. We've had the sword of Damocles hanging over us since 2013. NHS England proposed to do this last year, but then backed off because of the general election. We have a series of letters that have been written with our legal team, all sent by recorded delivery. So the statement today in response to the Financial Times online article that NHS England are working with us, they are not. They are not communicating, responding to anything that we send to them, which is why we met with our patients. And all we've done is meet with our patients for the first time on Monday night behind closed doors to break this bad news, because nobody else is telling them the story. And it's not just about little old Slathwaite Health Centre. It's 40% of what are generally, because they're better funded and a few other issues, ingredients, are amongst the most accessible, highest quality, most favourably reviewed by patient surgeries in the land. Our surgery is in the top 10% nationally for access, performance, patient satisfaction. and it's been going to be kneecapped along with 40% of other practices.
Well, we did ask to speak to NHS England. They gave us a statement which I'll read out in a moment. Philip, what do you make of this, these 40% of surgeries being on these personal medical services contracts, something that was supposed to level the playing field back then, but clearly it's going to work against them now?
Well, as I understand it, there will be 40% cuts for those currently on these PMS contracts, but there'll be a rise for the other 60% that are not. What's happened here...
Sorry, can I just go back to that? So those on the general contract will get a rise,
yeah,
as well as those that are on the personal contract getting a loss?
There is no net reduction in funding. What's right. happened here? What's happened here is that the contracts that Paul is on were originally set up to allow the sort of services that Paul is obviously excellent at delivering. NHS England have done a baseline review, and they've concluded in that baseline review that patients actually don't see the benefit of that extra funding. And they said that actually, therefore, in the interests of fairness between all practices, what we have to do is redistribute that, that excess, mm-hmm. that surplus that practices like Paul's practice get across the whole slate or platform, if you will, so everybody gets fair access. Now, what I think is going on here is, in one sense, this doesn't come from the government, it comes from NHS England. This is the government allowing NHS England to make the hard decisions that it feels need to be made without political interference. But I think Paul's point, and obviously, it sounds like from Irene's point, it's clearly an extremely good practice. What I think needs to be done, and Paul is quite right, that the funding for GPs has fallen. What we've got fundamentally, and Jeremy Hunt has spoken about this, is a system where the hospitals absorb all the money. And practices like Paul's, those who are on the enhanced contracts and those who aren't, essentially get their money drained away. What I think we need to do to answer this problem is actually redesign the system. And the Health Secretary has talked about the need for all practices probably to become more like Paul's, have diagnostics so people don't have to go out for ultrasound or blood tests, do holistic care. If you look at the hospitals, for instance, 70% of all NHS bed days are absorbed by people with chronic conditions, diabetes, okay. obesity. Now, it's only Paul's practice that can intervene and stop those people ending up in hospital. So really what we need, in my view, isn't these enhanced contracts or the new contracts. We need a completely new offer for GPs that enables them to continue delivering this service. So I think the real argument is to get NHS England to design away the funding that is sucked into the centre and to decentralise to an enhanced role for GPs. That's the real future.
Let me put that back to Paul then. Paul needs a redesign of the system, and Philip is saying these measures have actually made the current system more fair.
I think Philip's made a really important point, and I'm a grassroots GP with... I've spent a lot of my career involved in clinical innovation, setting up new services. I think we all need to rise above all these everyday issues. I'm sorry, my patients, but I'm going to just park you. I will be back tomorrow and you'll be top of my agenda then. But let's just park my practice issue. Let's just count up the issues that are on the table. We've got the junior doctor contract. Well, that seems to have been in the news recently, doesn't it? Thank goodness, especially with my son at medical school at the moment. We've got hospital budget deficits that are off the scale. We've got mental health services in the news for a lack of funding and endemic issues. We've got an ambulance services that cannot meet their targets anymore. We've got the social care system that doesn't seem to be there anymore for me as a GP. I now do social visits to try and keep my vulnerable elderly people out of hospital. We've got public health eroded. The big message of a previous think tank was invest in public health, invest to save, support the public to become healthier. So I don't think we're going to get anywhere talking about the single issues, including just talking about my surgery. And the think tanks have come together, and there are emerging groups such as NHS Survival, which is an apolitical open to all campaigning organisations that are arguing, just as Philip is, for a big discussion about what's the future. What's the future for health and social, state-funded health and social care in our country?
What do you think it is?
I think we need a big discussion. I'm a grassroots GP, I'm not a policy expert. I think we need to preserve the principle of free at the point of need care. But I am open-minded to upside-down thinking, doing things back to front and reverse order and in different ways. If my practice needs to change and evolve as a part of that new system, but that system has to be driven by cohesive national political leadership. They're the only people who can do this. The NHS was created in 1948 after the war by a consensus with brave political leadership. The NHS is beginning to come to an end. It's coming apart at the same. And now is the time it needs cohesive of the parties to come together, look towards something like a royal commission to set some parameters about the future and talk to the public. Okay. Be honest. Don't announce these cuts on national radio.
Philip, briefly.
Yeah, I think Paul is visionary and right there. I think he's completely right. The system that we have at the moment is in systemic crisis. And because nobody's solving the systemic issues, we see problems popping up all over the place.
Too big for politicians? Politicians just do not want to go near this, really. Keep putting sticking plasters on it because it's just too big an issue.
Well, what we have is we've created a world with the NHS where everybody is desperately holding on to what they've got, where nobody's in overall control because nobody can take a big enough view. And one of my ideas was to devolve health to Manchester. I was the first person to recommend that, and I'm delighted that that's happening. Because what I think is we need to flip the whole system upside down, just as Paul is talking about. And we need roughly three things. We need GPs to be at the centre of a new holistic revolution that deals with the 21st century type of diseases we have, diabetes, obesity, depression, dementia, that keeps people out of hospital. ResPublica released this morning a report about the care system, and basically, because our care system is breaking down, hospital beds are three times more expensive than residential care beds. If GPs can keep patients out of hospital, they should get an extra income stream from that. In addition to that, I think that we need to have devolution across the scale, because we know that, for instance, getting people into work is a health outcome that dramatically improves people's mental and physical health. And that's something that can only be done by allying health with local authority action and effective rather than ineffective welfare to work programs. Finally, we have to redesign the hospital as the first point that we go to. Hospitals should only be for extreme, rare and highly acute problems. At the moment, already 30 to 40% of patients in our hospitals shouldn't be in hospitals. They should be at home or in residential care or in nursing care. For goodness sake, let us all, as people of goodwill and good intent who love the NHS, come together exactly as Paul has described and do the big thinking together.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much for being with us. Philip Bond, you heard just there, director of think tank ResPublica. And before that, Dr. Paul Wilding, who's a partner at, now, I've been told off for pronouncing it wrongly. Is it Slathwaite or is it Slowett?